Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would like to, first of all, thank the leadership of this congregation for sharing their pulpit with me. I know this is an opportunity for me to stand here and proclaim the gospel of Christ, and that's exactly what I tend to do.
Amen.
I would like to thank God for the opportunity to stand before you to proclaim the gospel of his darling son, Jesus Christ. We all should be grateful to God for allowing us to assemble here with the express purpose of worshiping him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
For the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Our God is a good God, and our God is a faithful God. According to Psalms 111, verse 9, it says, holy and reverent is his name. And I would like to, first of all, I would like to also welcome the visitors. I just want you to understand that you're our VIP of the audience.
Amen.
And what you're experiencing here is New Testament pattern of worship. Where we sing with our mechanical instruments, where we pray, where we will have a collection in the basket we'll go by only once, and where we will take the Lord's Supper as instructed in God's word, and we will hear directly from God's word. Amen? In the verses that we have before us, we are called to a new walk in a new life.
Okay.
See, Paul issues some very specific directions for all of those who have been saved, who have been obedient to God's word. Paul teaches us how we're to walk and how we're to be different from those that are not saved.
Amen.
Brother, will you start reading for me in Ephesians 4, starting verse 17 and conclude in 19, please.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness.
Now, these three verses, to summarize it, real and when one word, these verses tells us that we need to be different.
Okay.
See, we who have been saved, who have been obedient to the gospel of Christ, are no longer like we were. Our past does not define us. See, we are a new creature in Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. As a result of our new birth, we are not what we used to be. And we can no longer live like we used to live. We are no longer to think like we used to think. We're no longer to do the things that we used to do.
Amen.
In our past. See, for us, and I'll make it real simple, I'm a teacher by trade. These are these nouns, the persons, the places, and the things that you used to do in your past. You shouldn't focus on them now, being that you are separating, you're different now. See, Paul teaches us here we're to mark the differences between the children of God and those that have not been obedient to the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
We are to mark those distinctions between the saved and the lost. We are, again, to be different. See here, Paul notes three specific problems that plague the lost.
Okay.
See, starting in verse 17, it says they have a problem with their heads. Their heads. See, Paul says the lost walk in the vanity
of their minds.
And the word vanity, according to what we've been studying in Bible study, and according to the book of Ecclesiastes, the word vanity means emptiness, nothing. So the lost live empty lives because their minds are corrupted with inborn sin and focused on nothing.
Okay.
Thus, every thought is corrupted by evil because, again, it's focused on nothing. See, the lost invents ways to serve the flesh, to be selfish, and to have desires that only benefit them. The lost minds invent false gods, false religions, and false philosophies, not based on God's word. Yet the inventions of the lost minds are empty. See, according to Proverbs 16, verse 25, it reads, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, if we spend our time focusing, and I'm speaking of the saved, those that have been obedient, if we spend time focusing on like the lost have been worried about, then our end is death, is our separation from God, according to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. In Romans 1, 28, Paul says that the lost possesses a reprobate mind. See, this refers to a depraved mind, and the word depraved means useless and worthless. So the unbeliever has a problem. The problem is his mind. His mind is depraved and is capable of producing nothing, no good thoughts, no good deeds that are useless and worthless according to God's word. Mm-hmm. But because we are saved, we are obedient, we are to be different. In verse 18, there's a problem with their hearts. See, Paul says their understanding is darkened, and they are alienated from the life of God, and their ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, if you understand what blindness means, there's some things that you can't see. There's some things you can't recognize. There's some things you can't focus on. And if you are the lost, if you haven't been obedient to God's word, this classifies you. See, the word blindness refers to stubbornness. It speaks to the heart that is confronted with the truth, but refuses to embrace the truth. Paul refers to this in Romans 1:18 when he mentions those that hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, God is the truth in righteousness, but us lost individuals, those who are lost, have the truth in unrighteousness. It speaks to those that hear the truth, know the truth, been taught the truth, and refuse to acknowledge and embrace the truth. Because of the stubbornness of their hearts, they are separated from the life that could be theirs in Christ Jesus. They remain trapped in darkness. They remain focused in darkness. They continue to do the things in darkness. Whether we like it or not, the lost are dead in trespasses and in sins.
Amen.
According to Ephesians 2, verse 1. See, in the dead and the depraved state, the lost live nothing but to gratify the lust of their flesh and of their minds, according to Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. See, in this state, understanding is darkened means that the lost live in a continued state of spiritual darkness, in a continued state of spiritual separation from God. And they live in a continual state that is ignorance toward the word of God, toward the things of God. They are dead because they are alienated. They're separated. They're moved away from the life of God. They are unmoved by the truth. They don't care for the truth. I'm speaking of those that haven't been obedient of God's word. I'm speaking of those that are lost. They are unfazed by the matters of right and wrong. They could care less. It does not matter to them. They love the dark, and they pursue the words and the works of darkness. But one good thing what Paul says, because we are saved, we are to be different. See, Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus in this particular text to help us understand the difference between the lost and those that have been obedient.
Okay.
Because we are saved, we are to be different. Because we are saved, the very life of God defines us. It empowers us. It enlightens us. We are not dead to truth, but we love the truth. We seek truth. We want truth, and we are moved by the truth. See, according to 1 John 1, verse 7, it says, walk in the light as he is in the light. If you're not seeking truth from God's word, what are you seeking truth from? Could it be from the word? Could it be from the world? We are not like them, and we must also not be like them. See, they have a problem with their heads in verse 17, and they got a problem with their hearts in verse 18. And in verse 19, the problem is with their hands. Because the lost are dead, they are said to be past feelings. Now, I don't know about you. I can only feel with my hands. But the phrase means they have lost their sense of pain. It is used in the sense of not being bothered by their conscience when they sin. See, the lost person, they don't care where they sin. They don't care if they hurt somebody. It doesn't matter to them. They are past feeling the guilt and the pain and the issues that they have caused when they sin. See, the lost sinner commits life to evil. And as he lives, he loses his sensitivity towards sin. This leads them to ever deepening levels of wickedness. It is an attitude that says, I do what I want to do, when I please, where I please, and with whom I please. That's the attitude of somebody who's lost.
Amen.
But it is a life that is given to open sin. See, and also in verse 19, it talks about the lost person works all uncleanliness. See, this is the idea that the lost works hard at sinning. See, back in, you might have heard this phrase too, if you're going to do something, be the best at it, right? So the lost, they work hard at sinning. So they're going to be the best at sinning. He does this to the best, and he's going to be as bad as he can be. What an accurate description of the world we live in today.
Amen.
The lost all around us work themselves to death in a pursuit of pleasure, never realizing their wickedness and corruption and what it's doing to increase the guilt in the eyes of God for them. They are past feeling, and they don't care. And they do all this with greediness. This simply means that he doesn't care about whom he hurt. It's all for self-gratification. What that means is that he turns into his own God, who worships himself. They give themselves over to the lust of themselves, of their minds, and that's what drives them. They do it for their own benefit. This is how the lost live. And what Paul is telling us is that the saints of God ought to be different. Brother, please read verse 20 through 21. Let's try it. Ephesians 4, 20 through 21.
Verse 21?
No, verse 20 through 21.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself.
Ephesians 4, verse 20 through 21.
Excuse me. Verse 20?
Yes, sir.
But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to a deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
These verses tells us that we must be discerning. Paul, in the earlier verses, he tells us we need to be different. These couple of verses tells us we need to be discerning. While we are to avoid being like the lost, we are to strive to be like the Lord. Having told us what we should not be, Paul teaches us and tells us what we should be. See, one thing we need to understand is that Christ is our example. The lost are motivated by their lust, but those that love Christ are motivated by the Lord. The phrase "learn Christ" in verse 20 refers to being saved. When he saved us, when he died for us, he changed us. He made us like himself once we became obedient. He delivered us from the things of this world. Fulfilling the sins of the flesh is no longer our standard of living. Jesus is our standard of living. He is our example. We are not to allow the flesh and the wicked desires to control us any longer. We are to take Jesus and allow him to be our example for our lives, and we are to walk with Jesus in the newness of our life.
Right.
See, when a person claims to know Jesus and for him to be their Lord and Savior, he still lives like the world, he's either deceiving himself or he's a liar or both. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, it reads, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keep his word, and him verily, verily in the love of God perfected, hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So don't say you know Christ, but you're doing the things of the world. A born-again believer strives to be just like Jesus, discerning the way he walked from what the Bible teaches us and by how the Spirit of God leads within. This produces a life that is vastly different from those that are living in the world. This produces a life that is different to help prevent us from sinning. The result in life is that we are to be pleasing to the Father and that we must emulate his Son, Jesus Christ, in this world. In the fulfillment of Philippians 2, verse 5, which says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ," we learn here Christ is our example. But see, not only is he our example, he is our educator. Christ is our teacher. Because the redeemed are no longer ignorant and trapped in death and delusion of their sins. See, the redeemed have heard his voice, have not hardened his heart, and been obedient to whatever he has taught us in his word. They have been taught truth. They have been brought out of death unto life. They have been placed on a different path than those who have not been obedient. They have been taught. As a result, they have been changed by the power of God. See, when Christ came, he brought with him knowledge and truth. He taught us about God. He taught us about himself. He taught us about his Spirit. He taught us about heaven and hell. He taught us about sin, salvation, life, grace, mercy, faith, how to pray, eternity, judgment. This is what Jesus has taught us. That's why Jesus should be our educator.
Amen.
We are no longer in darkness, but we now know how to walk in light just as Jesus did. Jesus has taught us truth, according to John 16, verse 13, and that truth has made us free, according Amen. To John 8:32. According to 1 John 5, verse 20, it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Jesus is true.
Amen.
So we are to be different from the lost that's around us. We are to be discerning and learn all that we can from our Lord Jesus Christ through his word. We got to be different and we got to be discerning. The last point I want to draw out in verses 22 through 24, Brother Stroud, please.
"That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another."
Thank you, sir. In verses 22 through 24, it tells us that we must be decisive. We got to be different. We got to be discerning. Now we got to be decisive. We got to make a decision, y'all. Since we've been changed by the power of God, since we've been taught the truth about God and Christ, we are to make some active changes to our own lives. See, the three actions that Paul bring out in these three verses, in verse 22, he says, put off. In verse 23, it says, to be renewed. Okay. And in verse 24, it says, to put on.
Amen.
See, these are commandments to the believer and what we must do. These are also actual statements of fact. Each of these statements refer to what the Lord did in us. See, in verse 22, it says, there's something to renounce. See, the phrase putting off means to strip away. If you imagine like taking off clothes, see, the clothes refer to the old man that is dirty, the corrupt and filthy old man that we all had before we came to the knowledge of Christ. See, the old man is stripped off when we are converted, when we are being obedient. We ought to be sure that the old man remains stripped off. This is what to be put off means. See, the old man of sin remains alive and well within each one of us.
Amen.
According to Galatians 5, 16 through 18 and Romans 7, 14 through 25. He is deceitful, he is filled with lust, and he is growing ever more corrupt. If you're not careful, the old man can enslave us in old habits.
Amen.
And all the ways of living the Lord has delivered us from when he saved us. See, in verse 23, it talks about something to renew. The lost sinner has a mind that is given over to vanity. We talked about that earlier. The sinner's mind gives itself over to the things that are empty and are not of value and full of deceit in this world, which leads them to judgment and ultimately hell. But the saints of God, on the other hand, is to walk with a renewed mind. When the Lord saved us, when he died for us, when he took that whipping for us, when he came here with the purpose that God sent him here for, which was to die for us, we were made alive in Christ, according to John 5:24 and Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. See, part of that new life involves renewing of the mind. See, our dead minds that was given over to vanity are now made alive. We're enabled to think differently, not just of ourselves. We're able to walk each day having our minds renewed by the word of God and by the Spirit of God. See, just as Timothy studied the scriptures from a young boy, according to Psalms 119, verse 11, David says, I have hid your word in my heart so that I don't sin against you.
Amen.
My question to you, have you hid his word in your heart? Are you reading your word? See, the fact that God literally changed our mind. And see, one thing we need to understand, even as a people, we have to change our mind about having our mind being changed. We don't know everything. Everything is right here for us to live by.
Amen.
See, the fact that God literally changed our minds when he saved us gave us the ability to live different lives from the world around us. The Christian life begins in the mind. When the thinking is changed, life is changed.
Amen.
When our minds are set on the things above and not on the things of this world, our lives will follow the direction of the mind. The mind is a very powerful thing, and what you're feeding your mind is going to be the result of what you're getting from it. Thus, we should strive each and every day to fulfill this truth as found in Romans 12, verse 2, by having our minds transformed.
Amen.
If we ever get our minds right, our lives will be right too. It is our thinking that sets us on the right path. It puts us, and those that don't think, or lack of thinking, or having a lack of knowledge, puts us on the path of trouble. See, in the end, everything's come back to how you think about it. The mind of the lost man will lead him further away from God and deeper into sin. But a mind of a saved man, however, leads him closer to God and deeper into holiness and righteousness. Are you hungry for God's word? Are you filling your appetite? Are you filling your hunger with God's word and not what the world has to offer? See, in verse 24, it tells us that we must have something to reveal, must have something to show. See, just as we're to strip off the old man, we're to put on something else. See, you don't take off clothes to not put on no more clothes. You take off the old man to put on the new man.
Amen.
See, the new man is created in righteousness and in true holiness. This new holy man was born in us when we were obedient, when we were baptized, when we were taught of God, when we learned Christ. When he was created, the new man, we were given the ability to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. When he saved us, he made us a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17.
Amen.
See, the new creature loves the Lord, and he loves the things that the Lord tells us to do.
Amen.
He desires to serve the Lord, and he has been empowered to walk in the will of God for the glory of God. This is our responsibility as someone who has been obedient to God's word. So you might be sitting in your seat wondering, how can I become obedient to God's word? Just hold on for a few more moments. We'll be there. This is, and once we have learned of God, then once we've been obedient to God, then we should let our light shine. So we got to be different. We got to discern, and we got to be decisive and make a decision. See, Paul says the new man in which after God is created, this phrase literally means that the new man was made in the likeness of God. When we obeyed that form of doctrine, we were recreated in the likeness of God Himself. We were made the partakers of the divine nature, according to 2 Peter 1:4. See, this new man is literally Christ who lives in us.
Amen.
Christ who lives in me, according to Galatians 2:20. See, we are not yet perfect, but we've been changed. We have been given all what we need to live lives of righteousness and true holiness according to God's word. Thus, we must actively yield ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord within us and allow Him to walk in us day by day. See, we must no longer walk in the rags of our sin with our head held down. We must decisively put off the old man of sin and put on the new man who is made in the likeness of God. See, in conclusion, as I prepare to take my seat, I just have a few questions. How are you doing in the business of being different, discerning, and decisive? Can you honestly say that you're living the life that is different from the world around you? Can you honestly say that you've obeyed that form of doctrine according to God's word? These questions that you have to ask yourself. Can you honestly say your life displays Jesus Christ to the world? In order for us to be different, to discern, and to be decisive, we must have a relationship with the Lord. Brother Brooks is going to come and help us understand the God's plan of salvation for our life to develop a relationship with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Test one, two, check. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Another awesome job. I really just should have finished. You should have went on and just finished. But they trying to help me. They trying to help me get back on track as well. So, but that is certainly a good lesson for us to think about how we go into it. I was thinking about how I drive my old car every week. You know, my car, you have to buy a car. It's got this certain smell in it. You ever know, a new car got a new car smell, right?
Amen.
Everybody know about new car smell?
Amen.
And so you get that new car smell, right? And after a while, it goes away. You drive it up there and get it ready to get it washed. And they say, what kind of scent? I pull up in there. I said, man, spray mine full of that new car smell. Amen. They spray it full of it. They said, put a little extra new car in it. And that new car smell, you know, they spray it in there. But it don't last long. Because, amen, it don't last long. Because it's old. Is that right? But when you start looking at this life, this new life requires a new beginning.
Amen.
And so in Romans chapter 6, I'm going to go over there real quick. In Romans chapter 6, I'm talking about the new walk, a new life requires getting rid of the old so you can start new. So if you want a new car, you got to go buy your new car. Because your old car never smelled like the new car because you got to have a new car in order for it to be a new car. Is that right? In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul said, what shall we say then? What shall we say then about what? Paul said, now, Paul, what shall we say then? Paul asked, what shall we say then about what? Go back to the two verses before that. I'm just talking about a new car smell right quick. Go ahead and give the verse two, Romans 5, the verse right between that, 20-21.
Moreover, the law entered.
Paul said, moreover, the law entered.
That the offense might abound.
The offense might abound. Read.
But where sin abounded.
Where sin abounded.
Grace did much more abound.
Grace for our reign sin. Read.
That as sin has reigned unto death.
Has reigned unto death. Sin will take you all over. The old car will take you all the way to the graveyard. Read.
Even so, grace reigned through righteousness.
Read.
Until eternal life. By Jesus Christ.
Read on.
Our Lord.
Read on.
What shall we say
now,
then?
There you go again. So what shall we say then about what?
Shall we continue in
now,
sin?
Now, that's the question. You said grace for our reign sin. So what shall we say then about grace? Can we continue in sin
that grace may abound?
What did Paul? He said, now, can I just, and now that I have a new life, can I just keep living in sin because grace got me covered? That's what he said. What shall we say then? Am I always be new, or can I keep living in sin dirty and grace may abound? He said, now, what did he say?
God forbid.
God forbid. There's the resounding answer. Like, brother, once we start walking a new life, we can't continue in sin that grace may abound because we have a new life. Amen. Y'all see what I'm saying? He was saying, no, you can't live in sin. You can't willfully live in sin, continue in sin, because you got a new walk and a new life. How did that happen? Here we go to the invitation. Here it has happened.
How shall we that are dead to sin?
See, the old man got to die. The old car got to go. You got to have a new car. That right? The old, you want old car smell or new car smell? And which one y'all want?
New car.
New car smell. He said, what did he say? Come on.
That are dead to sin, live any longer therein.
So we are dead to sin, living longer therein.
Know you not. That so many of us
were baptized
into Jesus Christ.
Here comes the new car. As many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ.
We're baptized into his death.
Read.
Therefore, we are buried with Christ
by baptism into death.
That like Christ was raised up from the dead
by the glory of the Father.
Even so, we also shall walk.
Here it is. Here's the car. Shall walk in newness
of life.
Read.
For if we have been planted together, conditional.
If we've been planted together, baptism.
In the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
That's a new creature in Christ that he was talking about. We're in the likeness of his resurrection. So it takes a death of the old man, a burial of the old man, clean him up in the water, baptism, and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and he rises to walk a new life. Y'all got it? Read.
Knowing this. That our old man is crucified with him.
The old man got to go. He got to die. You got to get rid of your old truck. You're with me now. You can't just go up there and spray in a little new grace, a new grace smell in. That's what they want to do. Man, feel that thing up, blow it. But you have done that. Yours still smell new. You try. Yeah, they say what they want to get that new car smell, man. So what are you saying, Brother Bruce? I'm saying what he's teaching us is that you got to have a brand new beginning in order to walk this new life. That's all I'm saying. And it happens in baptism. And then the last part of it I want to talk about, once you get cleaned up, you can stay clean. In other words, you can keep the new car smell. Somebody say, what? Yes, you can keep the new car smell. See, the beauty of being a child of God is that I can keep the new car smell. But I got something the world don't got. But in 1 John chapter 1, this is the greatest lesson I learned as a new convert. He said, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses. That ETH at the end of cleanse is a continuous cleaning. That continuous cleaning of the blood, once you're baptized in the water, baptized in blood, then you have this continuous cleaning. In other words, you keep the new car smell. Wow. Christ died on the cross to give us the privilege of being cleansed daily. That's why I say if you walk in the light as he's in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. See, so here's the beauty of being a Christian. And we talk about how God is so good to us. He said, and you know, we sing that song, he just keep on loving us, over and over again. He just keep on blessing us. When you're a child, he just keep on getting blessings over and over again. Amen. Then he just keep on cleansing us over and over. I done messed up a whole lot. But because I've been to the water, amen, been to the water of grave of baptism, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and he just keeps on cleansing me over and over and over again. And then here's the thing, here's the beauty of it. Jesus says this, and he said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. But he did, he said, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Who's blessed? Those who die in the Lord. Now, to be in the Lord, you got to be in the body. The body is the church, and the church is the body. Is that right?
Amen.
The body is the church, and the church is the body. So when one die in the Lord, they die in the body. And to die in the body, you die in the church. Now, the thing about the Bible, there's only one church.
Amen.
Oh, Amen. That's now we're talking about walking in the light, and the light being the word of God, It's a lamp unto your feet and light unto your path. Most people don't get this part, that you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, and then the Lord adds you to the one church, which is the church of Christ. It's the only one in the Bible. The only one in there. I just told y'all that. If you didn't know it, you do now. That's the only one in there. It's called the church of Christ. Here's that. You don't want to roll the dice on this one. You don't roll the dice on salvation. You don't roll the dice on grace. You got to obey the truth. That's what he was saying. You got to walk according to God's law. And to do that, you got to hear the gospel story. How Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary. He hung, bled, and died up there on that cross for 6 long hours for all of us. Amen. So we could walk this new life. He hung there between two thieves. One on the right and one on the left. Amen, somebody. And then he hung there until he died. And he gave up the ghost. And he said it was finished. What happened? He has shed the blood that will wash our sins away. In baptism, it purchased the church of the church of God, which is the church of Christ, Acts 20:28. He said, take heed therefore unto yourself over the flock where the Holy Ghost, a major overseer, the feed the church of God. Watch it now, which he purchased with his own blood. That's God the Son. That's called the church of Christ. He purchased it with his own blood, and that same blood will wash away your sins in baptism. Revelation 1:5, that same blood purchased the church, and that same blood keeps us cleansed on a daily basis. We just keep that new car smell
over and over.
Over.
Amen.
And over
again.
And over again. And I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad to be a Christian. I am glad to be a Christian. Now here's the thing about being a Christian. You know, being a Christian, you got hope.
Amen.
But if you don't die a Christian, there's no hope according to this book. Amen. Now you can try it. You can try it. If they got Wi-Fi down there. You put your tell, write it in your wheel. Put your iPhone in there. Which one you got? iPhone, Android, and put it in there and put it in your coffin. And you say, I don't believe nothing that preacher said. Put it in your coffin. And if you die and you go there before me and ain't none of this stuff I'm telling you true about baptism, about the church of Christ, about doing what's right in accordance to the scripture, and put it in your coffin. And when you get there, connect to the Wi-Fi, and then send us a text. You shoot us a text back and say, hey, Brother Brooke, you and Alan, man, that stuff y'all talking about, ain't nothing to that, man. We shooting some golf. We playing some golf down here, playing some football, watching the NFL, watch the Texans got lost today. They down there chilling. They talking about it's hot down here. Man, it's cool. We chilling. Send me a text back. I ain't going to never preach this no more. But I guarantee you, if you get there and I'm right, you won't be wanting to send me nothing back. But go home and tell somebody, don't come to this place.
That's right.
Because I should have listened to that preacher that day. He only gave you 5 minutes. I'm through.
Amen.
So we say, well, here's the thing. In a most serious note today, you think about what we're saying.
Amen.
What Adam is saying is that you can play this thing called Christianity, or you can do it the way God told you. Why is this so important? Because all of us got a soul. Here's the other thing we all know. We should be very aware of this. Death can come in a moment, a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Just last week, a young little girl, 23 years old, a drunk driver. Y'all seen it all over the news. 23 years old. It was a deputy's daughter. Quincy, he works with her. And you know, she's coming home, her and her mother and the child. And this drunk driver just hit that child in the side. Killed her right on the spot. 23 years old. Short life, gone. Oh, she thought she was going to go home. She thought she was going to make it. We all think we're going home tonight. We all think we're going to wake up in the morning. But I got news for you. Every one of us got a day coming. We got our number coming. God going to call that day. And the best thing you can be done is new walk, a new life, have a new walk in Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Adam told you. Amen. I told you. It's recorded on this day, December 23rd, 2018. You were told, got to be baptized to be saved. There's one church to be saved in. It's called the Church of Christ. We told you these important factors because we know this. You can't come back and get this right.
Amen.
You got to do it while you're living.
Amen.
The old man got to die and a new car got to come up.
Amen.
And you got to maintain that new car smell till the day you die. And that way you know. When you get to heaven, it'll be a sweet-smelling Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Is that right? I put that together.
That's
then a sweet-smelling Savior. That was pretty good. Yeah, I want to smell good when I get there. I want to say, well done.
That good and faithful.
You smell so good. Good. And I want to see God. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for loving me, for giving me a second chance. Thank you, God, that I didn't have to be all of that, but I did have to be obedient. And because of obedience, he will say, enter into the joys of life. And I want to see that place, a street of gold, walls of jasper. I don't know about y'all, but I want to see that place. I want to see it. I done read about it so much. I want to be able to see it and hear them angels singing. You got the new life ready? And this song here is so beautiful. And in Church of Christ, we use a cappella. I want y'all to listen to this song. But if you're here today and you want to come to the Lord, we want you to come. We want you to come if you need prayer. We want you to come if you want to be baptized. So here's the steps of salvation. You got to hear the gospel. That's that story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the suffering Savior. You got to believe that, number two, all of your heart. You got to repent of your sins. You got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God before an audience of men and women or before men. And then you got to be baptized immediately for the remission or salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And then the Lord will add you to that body of Christ, the church of Christ, and there you must live faithful unto death. We're going to sing a song called "New Have a New Life." We want to highlight y'all sing with us. If you need prayer, 14. You want to come and be baptized, 14. You want to come, we're going to want you to come. As together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.